Blog Talk Radio.
Notorious just, please us with your lyrical thesis. We just chillin', milk 'em, top billin', silkin', pure linen, vegan, little seeds, Malibu sea breeze, Dawn peas, palm trees, cats named Pablo, and milked out Diablo, the williest, be the silliest, the more obvious, smaller the silliest. Room 112, where the players dwell, and stash more cash than Bert Fidel. Inhale, make you feel good like Tony, Tony, Tony. Pick up in your middle like Moni. Yes.
Yeah.
Don't know me, but she's setting up.
Yes.
Try to style sliding off with a homie.
Yes.
Escada, don, gada, player, face clergy. Game so tight, they call it version.
Oh, I need to know where we stand. Do we share the
Lorenzo D. Smith, the host of Talking Sports Plus. It is wonderful Wednesday, hump day in some eyes. It's just a blessing to see another day and see another Wednesday. See, God is awesome, and we give him his praise because that's what it's all about, and I thank the Lord each and every day to allow me to be at this point in my life. I am so excited just to be here before you. This is the vessel that God gave a vision to me to bring to you so we could bring you sports with focusing on historical black colleges and universities, high school, middle school, in the southeastern part of the United States. That's the ultimate goal of this show. Our brand is to bring that to you. Now, we might talk about other sports. We might talk about Power Five, Group of Fives, and we might talk about other schools as well. But we're going to focus on historical black colleges and universities. It's the only show in this country that focuses on this on Blog Talk Radio. Now, we're heard in 16 countries. Let me say it again, 16 countries. So if you're on Facebook, now you have an opportunity to be a part of an audience all over the world. If you are on Instagram, we thank you again as well for joining us on Instagram as well as Blog Talk Radio. Now, the call-in number for Blog Talk Radio, if you want to be a part of the show, since you're on Instagram or either Facebook, is 347-857-4192. Now, if you want to just hear the show, you can go to our web link. And our web link is www.blogtalkradio.com/The Smith Way Production. Again, that's www.blogtalkradio.com/The Smith Way Production. So if you just want to listen to the show by web link, you can do it that way. But if you want to, you have something burning inside you, we're talking about the topics, you can call in to that number. Again, it's 347-857-4192. And then you want to just share your thoughts. Just press 1. I will identify you with the last 4 digits of your cell or your telephone number. Then I'll ask you to just share your thoughts, share your words, share your expertise about the topics we're talking about. Our title for the tonight show is For the Love of Championship Football. Now, I have several co-hosts that will be joining me by remote in a minute, but I like to try to lead off making sure we're talking about it. Now, there's a lot of people that are on Facebook. I appreciate you again. I just left one show on Facebook, which is our previous show, to come to this show, and some of you I saw just join us. Come on, come on. Keep on. Share it with your friends. Let them know they can be a part of it as well. We have several shows, and as I wait for my co-host to kind of join in with us, I will move forward and share all the other shows that's tied in to the Smith Way production. On Wednesday night, we have 2 shows at 7 o'clock. We have the preview show called Talking Sports Plus preview show at 7 o'clock Central Standard Time. And then at 8 o'clock, we have a primetime show, which you are part of it now, which is Talking Sports Plus. On the 4th Thursday of each month, we have our show entitled The Ministry Shannon Show, and it's hosted by Minister Shannon Kendrick's People and co-hosted by Elder Kendall McKnight. On Friday, which will be this upcoming Friday, we're going to have an opportunity to talk, which will be the first Friday, talk some sports as well called Balling with the Doc. I host that show at 2:30 Central Standard Time, 3:30 Eastern Standard Time. Then we'll also rotate on Mondays, and as every other Monday, we have Talking Real to You. We have 2 shows. We have a preview show at 7 o'clock, and Talking Real to You is talking about just plain old life issues, no matter what they are, any political, social, relationship, economics, education, all of those. We just talk about those at 7 o'clock. We do a preview show. Then 8 o'clock, we have the primetime show, Talking Real to You. Then on Tuesday, which is every other Tuesday, we have a schedule that I put on my Facebook page. You can check it out. And we get off schedule just a little bit. However, we just try to stay close to the best. On Tuesday at 7 o'clock Central Standard Time, we have the Dr. Lowe Show. It's the real relationship talk show. You need to check it out on Tuesday, because we be talking about relationships and some things that you may be dealing with, some things you want. You have questions, but you're not willing to step out and get some kind of further counseling or some support from other areas. I said support. And you'll choose to just listen to our show, and we'll share those thoughts with you. I have several experts joining me, and they pretty much come from my Monday show as well as my Wednesday night show. They join us. We talk about real relationship issues. No matter what issues they are, we talk about them. We share thoughts on them, and we're so happy to have an opportunity to do that as well. Also on Wednesday, we have the 2 shows I just shared. We had one earlier at 7 o'clock, and now we're at 8 o'clock, and that's our round of shows that we have. We got some other things we're going to be adding to that. We actually have If you know that I have several people trying to buzz in, and I like that. I'm reaching over now, kind of turning off my extra mic because it's picking up a lot of feedback. We got people that's trying to join in already. They'll just either they're on Facebook or they're just joining in through just texting or whatever it may be, because we have several opportunities. You know, we got several people that's doing that. And sometimes they'll be texting me to tell me, well, you need to get closer to the mic, Doc. You might be too far away from the mic, or you might be too far away from the system that's picking you up. And I try to use what they have so I call it a boost system. This is where it's on a booster where it boosts up the volume. It's on our audio, and we try to make sure we do that. We get all that out. And sometimes people say we can't really hear you, Doc, because you're talking away from the mic. So I'm up on top of the mic to make sure we share the thoughts. So hopefully in a few minutes, those individuals that's the co-host will join. But since I'm waiting on them, so when they come in, you'll have an opportunity to know who they are. I'm going to ask them tonight when they join us tonight to make sure when they have something to share about a topic, let us know what their names are. Let us know who they are before they say whoever they are, say, I am so-and-so, and then talk about the topics of importance. All right, let's kind of share those individuals who will be joining us tonight as soon as they do get in, but I'm going to just give them an introduction. I try to give my volunteer, this is a volunteer team. We work as a volunteer situation, and we try to be here, and I understand other jobs, they have other jobs, but they make a point to try to come in and join in with me. All right, for the love of championship football, and the first calls, he hails from the state of, he actually hails from the northern part of the state of Alabama. He's up in the Meridianville area, the coach of Chapman Middle School up in Huntsville. We have to definitely give him a shout out and make sure, because he played an outstanding ball game last night, even though they lost 37-36. That was Chapman Middle School versus Huntsville Junior High School, and they played, and the final score was 37-36 in a football game championship. And that's Coach Tremaine the King Edwards, and he'll be joining us in a little bit. Our second co-host hails from Central Alabama, just 30 miles south of Montgomery. He's the past Associate Executive Director of the High School Athletic Association in Alabama. He retired last year. That's Coach Tony Touchdown Starworth. He'll be joining us. He's our resident high school expert. We also have the lady of the hour, Millennium. That's Coach Lauren D. Smith, as well as another Millennium, Coach Cameron Gilmer, be joining us as well. And last but not least, our radio personality hails from, we say, from on the line of Alabama and Florida, Fort Walton, travels up to Montgomery, from Montgomery over to Troy, then Troy to Dothan, then make his home and stop in Up, Alabama, none other than our radio personality, Darryl E. Train Elliott, also known as the Don King of all things. They'll be joining us, and we look forward to having an awesome show tonight, and I'm trying to work through some things before they get on the line with me. Now, if you want to email the show, you can go to talkingsportsplus@gmail.com. Or you can tweet the show at Talking Sports Plus with the number one, at Lorenza D. Smith, at Elliot Darrow, number one, at Tremaine Edward, number seven, at Coach underscore L underscore Smith, and that's Coach Smith. So we have some individuals that's going to be joining us in a minute. Now, let's kind of move forward with our title, For the Love of Championship Football. That's what we're talking about. And I want everybody to kind of keep in mind, when we're talking about championship football, our focus of this and our brand is the historical black colleges and universities. We spotlight them. high school and middle school, as well as we have some our coaches' corner. We talk about some things that's dealing or going on in sports right now, and we kind of share our thoughts on that as well. So we're going to start off with our historical Black colleges and universities spotlight. This past weekend was an outstanding weekend. The weather was not as perfect as everybody wanted it to be. However, they still carried on with the 78th McDonald's Magic City Classic in Birmingham, Alabama, between Alabama A&M University and Alabama State University. Just to talk a little bit about that and give you a follow-up about that game, I was there present. The weather was quite inclement. It rained on and off throughout the ball game. In the first half, we had downpours and continuous rain, heavy. I have being the steward of the game and like being in the game, I sit there through with my poncho along with my nephew, and we just sit there and we enjoyed the ball game in the wet rain. The game in the first half was filled with a little action. You had first Alabama and A&M scoring on a one-yard plunge, but after a 7-8 yard reception by their wide receiver, took the ball down to the 1 yard line, and they scored. The score was 7-0 within the first 2 minutes of the ball game. Alabama State came back and they scored, had a long pass and they completed and they scored, and they went tied the game at 7-7. A&M turned the ball over again through a block punt. ASU picked it up and made it 14-7. We're still in the first quarter, then we moved to the second quarter. A&M was not able to get anything going, and they were fortunate enough, Alabama State was fortunate enough to score on a long pass, so the halftime score was 21-7. That is kind of, everybody like, wow, you know, the rain was coming down, and we just don't see A&M coming back in this ball game, and, you know, that's why you can't lead too fast. We was plotting to leave because we was good and wet, so we wanted to leave and go check and just go and get dried up and not worry about how the results will be. However, we just said we're going to sit around for a while. And after halftime, a beautiful halftime show, we'll give Alabama State University and Alabama A&M bands the credit for bringing the pageantry at halftime. It's nothing like Black college football with halftime. So it was outstanding. It was a classic, and it was awesome. Both bands performed to the highest level, so we applaud both universities. Came back the second half, and I'm going down about the game. I'm sort of like filibustering for some time, hoping my team come on, join me in here in a minute. And the score was 21-7 starting the third quarter. ASU had the ball, traveling through an interception. A&M got the ball, drove down the field, and made it 20 and scored. It was 21-14. Came back. Alabama State dug himself in a deep hole on a 2 or 3 yard line, had the punt. A&M got the ball on the 43-yard line. Alabama State University drove down and scored again. The game was 21-21. So, wow, that game changed quickly. We was talking about leaving because in the first half, A&M really didn't do anything besides that first drive. So the game moved into the fourth quarter, and Alabama State didn't do much. They was going back and forth up and down the field, not doing anything. A&M was decided to kind of open it up a little bit, throwing the ball, because at that time, let me paint the picture, the sun had come out, and it was no more rain. It seemed like it was two different halves played by both teams. Alabama State played in the rain, had a great game plan, and they did it. They relentless. They refused to stop. They just drove the ball, ran the ball, went up and down the field, threw passes, looked good. So they went up that 21-7 lead. But in the second half, it seemed like when the rain stopped, A&M took over that, and they scored three touchdowns to make the score 28-21. Going late in the fourth quarter, Alabama State drove down and tied the game up 28-28. So we end up ending regulation with the score 28-28. So in the first overtime, Alabama A&M had the ball, and they scored, and they went up 35-28. And then you had Alabama State do the same thing. Then eventually, after the third overtime, Alabama State scored. The score was 43-41. A&M leading. Alabama State scored, went for two because you had to go for two. And the score ended up Alabama A&M 43, Alabama State 41. Just think, two halves now. We had a left at the halftime after the band because of the rain, the torrential rain coming down, raining so hard. It was like a typhoon. It was just, man, it was raining. It was raining pretty hard. So the end result was Alabama A&M 43, Alabama State 41 in three overtimes. So that's the way the classic went. It was outstanding. If you was not there and you saw the rain, you didn't want to sit up in rain, I would say, you know, you're all right with that. They replayed it at 11 o'clock at night so you could see it on ESPN. So if you didn't catch it, it was an awesome play pretty much in the first half. Then second half went to A&M. And then overtime, both teams matched up and did real well. So we applaud them. It was outstanding. It was awesome. We wanted to focus on some of the play calling last night. There was some play calling that me on Saturday that was questionable, and especially by Alabama State University. They up 21-7 with the ball on A&M in the third quarter with about 10 minutes to go and 11 minutes to go in the third quarter. They up on A&M 43-yard line, third down and seven. Instead of running the ball, punting the ball, and putting them deep back so they'll drive, they decided to throw a pass, and it was intercepted. And it's like it turned the whole game around. And everybody said, well, that's just one. No, that there was several other out there. It's like they had forgot how to call plays. I know they got desperate because A&M scored three touchdowns right quick, and they got desperate, and they needed to try to catch up. But they lost. That's trying to catch up with your momentum. They lost your momentum. So we questioned that, and we wanted to see, you know, some thoughts on that. If you got any thoughts about a game, if you was there, the call-in number is 347-857-4192. Press 1. I will identify you with the last four digits of your cell or telephone number. Then I will ask you to give you your name, your location, and your comments, questions, expertise. We also want to share some thoughts about the battle, the SWAC mid-season, kind of like a championship, but I don't say that. It was between Southern and Alcorn. Southern leading the Western Division of the Southwest Athletic Conference. That's the SWAC. Alcorn leading the Eastern Division of the SWAC. They played in Louisville, Mississippi this past weekend. And they played at the same time that the Magic City Classic was going on at 2:30. And the final in that game was that Alcorn beat Southern to take over not just the the lead, but whoever wins the regular season championship now hosts the SWAC championship. So all of those teams are fighting and pushing to win. At this point, Alcorn has the upper hand because they're only team in the SWAC with no losses. So they're looking good. Then they beat the Western champion at this time, or leader. I said leader. Southern is the leader at this time because Pine Bluff right behind them with two losses, but they right behind them. And on the other side, you have Alabama A&M right behind Alcorn with one loss, as well as Jackson State and Alabama State with two losses. So anything can happen, but if it doesn't change and Alcorn went out, they will be hosting the championship game in Louisville, Mississippi, down on the reservation. And if they win it, it'll be their third in a row. So they have dominated the last two or three years in the SWAC. We applaud them for doing what they're doing, the coaching staff as well as the players. So we're going to say hurrah to Alcorn so far. They're the leader in the SWAC at this time. The Mid-Eastern Athletic Conference, we're going to kind of look at them, recap of week 9. We have South Carolina State had an opportunity to play Bethune-Cookman. Now, Bethune-Cookman was leading the conference with no loss in the conference, and they just have 10 teams. They don't have a Western or Eastern division. And South Carolina State beat Bethune-Cookman 27-19. as well as Florida A&M beat Morgan State. Now, I'm calling out those games because Florida A&M is undefeated in the MEAC. However, because of that, the APR meeting that score as a football program, they didn't meet it. So what happened is Florida A&M is ineligible to participate in the MEAC standing. They can just play the games, but it won't really be out their record, but they can't play in the postseason play or be a part of them. So they won't let them be recognized as leader, even though they're undefeated in the conference. So Bethune-Cookman, even with the loss, they are still in first place. In the standings, they are 6-2, 4-1. North Carolina A&T, they are 5-2, 3-1 in the conference. Also, as I mentioned, FAMU is 7-1, 5-0, but they're ineligible for postseason play. So that's what's going on in the MEAC, Mid-Eastern Athletic Conference. We're going to move to the SIAC. And when we look at the SIAC, which is the Southern Intercollegiate Athletic Conference, consists of schools like Albany State, Fort Valley, Savannah State, Marshville, Morehouse, Clark, Miles College, Central State, as well as Tuskegee. And then you also have Mobile, if I'm not mistaken, Mobile College down there is a part of it as well. But what's going on with that situation is they don't have football down there. So they don't participate in football, but they're still part of that conference. How the standings right now, we have in the Western Division, which consists of Tuskegee, Miles, Central State, Mobile College, those schools. And right now, Tuskegee, who was 1-4 in the cup, 1-4. It was really 1-4 overall. Now they are 4-1 in the conference. So they won three, got a three-game winning streak. So Tuskegee leads the Western Division with Miles College, who ended up losing this past weekend to Central State. They're 3-1. We applaud Central State. I want to give them a shout-out. One of my junior high middle school football basketball players who played football as well plays football for Central State. He's a running back up there, Southfold. And we applaud him. He had a pretty good game this week, which it was not successful the week before because the Tuskegee shut down the whole offense of Central State last weekend in Tuskegee. But they beat Miles. So we applaud Central State for beating Miles. Miles is now 6-2, 3-1 in the conference. On the eastern side, you have Savannah State. Now, if you remember, Savannah State was in the MEAC one time. They decided to drop back down to Division II. That might be the question that some of you need answering about the historical black colleges and universities. There's only four conferences. We do have schools that are historical black colleges that do not play in the those divisions. You have two divisions levels set up. You have the FCS, consists of the Southwest Athletic Conference, and you have the Mid-Eastern Athletic Conference. Then you have a tier down is the Division II, which is the Southern Intercollegiate Athletic Conference with Tuskegee and Miles and the many schools there. And then you have the CIAA. And in those schools, again, in Savannah State is in the East. They dropped down from the MEAC down to the SIAC. They're 4-0 in the conference, 5-3 overall. Fort Valley is 4-0, 6-2. Then you have Albany State, which is 3-1, and they were leading the conference at one time. They had lost last weekend, and they're 5-3. So those are the teams that are making up the east and west of the SIAC. CIAA, which is Central Intercollegiate Athletic Conference. You have Bowie State, they retain the top spot in the North Division with an overall record of 8-0, 5-0 in the conference. Their overall record is 8-0. Their conference record is 5-0. So they're doing real well on that end. Also, you have Virginia State, who had lost to Virginia Union, so they dropped down below there in the Northern Division. But Virginia State won this past weekend. They moved back up to second place. So they're 6-2-4-1. Virginia Union, who dropped to third in the Northern Division, with a 6-2-4-1. They lost to Virginia State. Fayetteville State leads the Southern Division of the CIAA, which is the Central Intercollegiate, as I stated, Athletic Association. They're not a conference, they're an association. All right, so those are the teams that make up the historical black colleges and universities. As I was saying, you have two FCS divisions of it, with two conferences make up, that's the SWAC and the MEAC, then you have the Division II, the CIAA, and SIAC. And that's basically information in regards to the historical black colleges and universities. All right, we're going to move forward with our Coach's Corner. I'm going to talk a little bit, but we want you to be a part of it. The call-in number is 347-857-4192. Press 1, and I will identify you with the last four digits of your cell or telephone number and actually give your name, location, and what's your comments, what's your questions, or what's your expertise about the topic we're talking about. All right, we want to look at the Coach's Corner, which is something we always focus on. One of the topics we want to talk about is the loss Oklahoma suffered this past weekend to Kansas State. If anybody kind of know that when you play a team that is three touchdown underdog to you, sometimes we don't get up to the level we need to get. And really, they was out of the game because Kansas State was up 48-23. And they came back. Jalen Hurd had over 440-yard passing. They came back, but they weren't able to sustain it. It was 48-41, Kansas State. So that was one of the biggest upsets dealing with the college football playoff pitcher, because Oklahoma was on route to get to that point. But what you saw was you actually, with that loss, may have eliminated that conference from having a representative in there. So we're going to keep our, but we're going to kind of discuss it, because one of our questions was, what is the impact of the loss of Oklahoma on the college football playoff picture? The impact is that Oklahoma can get left out with one loss due to not being able to have another high-ranked team on their schedule. And that's going to play a major role when they're dealing with the finals, when they're dealing trying to get in this playoff. Now, the playoff committee is going to meet next Tuesday. And when they meet, they're going to look at those teams, and they're going to rank those teams. And it may look similar to this at this point. And that's LSU going to probably be first. Ohio State will be second. University of Alabama will be third. And Clemson will be fourth. So if the playoff was next week, those would be the four teams that make it. That leaves Oklahoma out of it. However, there's a lot of things that are going to have to happen. But the loss meant a lot to them, and I tore them up as a team because it was going so well. It was averaging almost 50 points a game. And when they ran up on a team, they didn't prepare themselves for that game. They ended up losing that game. So it was real impactful on them. And the loss might eliminate them from the playoffs. So that's what we say. You have to be prepared every game. In practice, how you get prepared for the game. You don't get prepared as soon as you hit the field to play the game. Practice hard always. Stay focused on winning, doing what the coach is telling you to do. And if you got a son or daughter, tell them, focus on what goes on in practice. Don't think when you get in the game, you're going to win the game when you don't practice. Practice in game. So just keep that in mind. And Oklahoma realized that there were some flaws somewhere already, especially on the defense. They were looking good against teams that were not at that level of competition. However, they end up losing that game to Kansas State, 3-2 favorites. They was Oklahoma, 48-41. So the picture is dim for them right now. The playoff picture is dim. If you got any thoughts about it, give me a call, and the call is 347-857-4192. Give us a shout. Let us know what's going on. Chat with us. We want to know exactly what's going on. At this time, I'm doing solo on this thing, and I'm going to bring it on home like it needs to be brought home. So just you have that opportunity. So if you have something to say after you call in, press 1. And when you press 1, I will identify you with the last 4 digits of your cell or telephone number. Then I'll ask you to give your name, your location, give us your thoughts in regards to the topic we're talking about. All right, next topic we want to look at under the Coach's Corner is the Tua situation at the University of Alabama. University of Alabama quarterback Tua Tagovailoa got an ankle sprain in their last ball game. And he immediately had surgery the next day, and they have this surgery where they call the butterfly. I'm just saying the butterfly go in, and they put a gall pad across that top of that ankle, and the truth of it looks like a butterfly. It crosses over. Once it crosses over, it reduces swelling, and that way you can heal. Now, one of the challenges, because you can't do a whole lot about a high ankle sprain. If you got something chipped in there, you have to have surgery. So the best thing to do is to, at the old-fashioned way, I can remember about playing the game and getting hurt in that manner and how ankle sprain is to go put my foot in a big tub of ice-cold water, and some of the players I see on my stream that played down there for me down at McKenzie and other places, they know, drop that foot off in that bucket of water, let it sit there as long as you can stand it and get out and walk on it, and that loosened up that soreness in it. As well as they even got the cryo machine where you can get in and do the same thing. So you have several ways there, but this is a new innovative way where they do the butterfly technique on there. And that won't be in the swelling. So he came back to practice today. So the impact, everybody thinking if he can't play, no, your betters in Las Vegas still believe that Alabama can still be LSU, which they play on the 9th, even if Tua's not there. I don't believe that. I give Mac Jones a lot of credit. They got a lot of talent, but Tua added dimension, makes your coordinators go crazy because you got to defense him. So it's a great impact if he's not able to play. But I think their level of play will raise. Now, one thing about it, and a lot of people really don't, they don't like the University of Alabama. I'll just tell you that. And they're like my Patriots neither, but that's all right. Live with it. One of the things about when you're successful, you have a good coach, and all the Jimmy and the Joes. And remember, I'm the best players. When you got the best players in the country, you can compete with anybody, even with players going down sometimes. And some people don't think you can. Your level of play won't be because they started off losing the best linebacker, the University of Alabama, and in the beginning of the year, they had to put freshmen in, and the freshmen are adapting to it. You can't replace experience, but you just play as hard as you can play to make sure you be in the right place at the right time. So we're looking at an opportunity for Tua being there to put them at another level. I personally believe I have never seen a group assemble of receivers at one university, at one team, ever as good as this group I see at the University of Alabama. If you can get the ball to them, they're going to make something happen. And it puts a lot of pressure on defense. My specialty, I was a defensive coordinator when I was a high school coach. So I know if I got one outstanding receiver, I can roll my defense to stop you. But when you got 3 or 4, it's hard to do that. So it's going to be a challenge for LSU. Now, everybody said, well, LSU got Joe Burrow playing at the high level. He looked like he's the leader for the Heisman candidate. But it's a whole different ball game when you may have 1 or 2 receivers and where that other team and that player is already at the top of his game with those receivers, and it makes you play at a high level, makes you take chances. And when you take chances, usually your results don't work out in your favor. So that's one of the things that you have to kind of keep an eye out for that game on November the 9th in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, between LSU and the University of Alabama. This is the side who will be one of the teams at the top. A lot of individuals, talking heads and pundits, still believe that whoever loses this game, not more LSU, because of the team they have played and beat If they have one loss, they got a chance still to get in. Now, it's going to be a challenge. Now, even if the University of Alabama, they have a little smaller chance than LSU with one loss, but I just still think now still got to consider those conference championships. And they didn't do it a year ago, 2 years, but the conference was two losses. It's never been a one-loss non-conference champion going against a one-loss conference champion to get into that spot. So we're going to keep an eye and see. So Tua injury has a big effect on the playoff picture, and we're going to kind of keep an eye. Now, one of the other things that we was going to talk about, and we're still going to share those thoughts, is if Tua go out there and get hurt again, do you think he will complete the season? Will he pull a Nick Bosa where he got hurt and his parents say he wouldn't be back until about time for the bowl season or the playoff season? They pulled him out of school and sent him off to training. And he went to training, and now you see what he's doing for the San Francisco 49. You know, San Francisco 49, one of my team, or my early show, I had my hat on for San Francisco. Now I have my Patriots hat on. So, you know, we'll kind of see what Nick will do. Tua would do if he actually have any kind of complication with that ankle. Will he just stop playing, or will he continue to play and try to finish his season up? So the impact could be great. That injury could be great and determine pretty much the fate of the University of Alabama based on having Tua there. So we want to try to keep an eye. So some people, some of the talking heads and pundits says that he ought to sit out and just wait on the draft. At this point, he's going to get drafted anyway. He's most likely going to be the first quarterback going to be drafted. And you already know he has an ankle problem anyway. So if he still has a small ankle problem, he's still going to be drafted because they need a quarterback. Now, I think there's been a little talk with the new draft rankings out. And I think Chase Young out of Ohio State, he's subject to be the number one player drafted because of the kind of defensive end he's causing havoc as a defensive end. So we're kind of keep an eye on that. So Tua's in there. Jalen Hurts, he's going to be in that first round. Joe Burrow's will be in that first round of the draft. So that's how we look to see that happen in regards to our college coaches' corner. We're going to talk about who's in and who's out. Right now, I'll just give a prediction that based on listening to the pundits and the talking heads and myself and looking at what I see, I do see now Alabama winning the SEC. Being in, I do see Ohio State being in, I do see Clemson being in, and that fourth spot will be a toss up, a real toss up. And I personally believe that fourth spot, we're going to have a good chance. We're going to either Oklahoma or good chance LSU. So that's what we're looking at in the college playoff pictures. College football playoff picture that's coming about in about a week and a half, but all the way up until that first game. Now, the semifinals will be played on the 28th. One of them will be at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta on the 28th. So if your team is there, make sure you put your meat in the seats over in Atlanta to see your team. If not, support the team that's there. And Atlanta, a big sports town, a lot of those individuals over there. I went to two games this year, so it's been real good to get a chance to go over there and check it out to see how things are going over in Atlanta. All right, we want to move forward to looking at a couple more topics. I was going to talk about a little pro football. And that pro football is about the trade deadline. They just had the trade deadline. I tell you, it was surprising some of the teams. As you know, Jalen Ramsey left Jacksonville and went to the Cardinals. Went to the Rams, St. Louis. You know, I think about that. The Los Angeles Rams, you know, they used to be the Cardinals, and the Cardinals used to be this, and everything. Everybody flipped, dipped, and did everything. So we're talking about the Rams. So he's at the Rams. So that was a good move for the Rams. However, several other moves were made. Leonard Williams left and also went to Dallas. And then you had a couple other individuals. Talik, he left. They traded him from the Rams to the Miami Dolphins. But we want to know who was successful, the teams that missed out.
there were several teams that missed out because Philadelphia needed a cornerback, a lockdown corner. They didn't get anybody. Kansas City needed a lockdown corner. Several other teams need offensive linemen, and they wasn't out there, but Trent Williams was available. But he ended up coming back to camp because he thought he would be traded. He was drafted first round, thought he was going to be traded because he didn't want to be on the Redskins, but he had to show up in camp, else he was going to continue to lose money. So that's one of the things we're dealing with in regards to the NFL. We're not going to spend a whole lot of time on that, pro football. We're going to look at our high school storyline. I was really hoping my expert would call in, but to kind of share some middle school results, some of the middle school results I know from Montgomery and Huntsville. You had the Montgomery Public School, we'll say public middle school championship. Johnny Carr defeated Brubaker. Now, Brubaker was 8-0. They hadn't lost a game all year, but they ended up losing to Johnny Carr 6-0 in Crumpton Bowl. So the champion of the middle school division for football is Johnny Carr. And also for the Huntsville Public Middle School Division Championship, you had last night played. You had a semifinal game between Whitesburg and McNair Middle School. Whitesburg 8, McNair 6. And they win the third place trophy up in Huntsville. And in that championship game between Huntsville Junior High School and Chapman Middle School, it was an outstanding game. The final score was 37-36, and I'll tell you exactly, it was score for score pretty much. It's an art to playing football and scoring. We have to keep this in mind. If your child is playing and you're coaching, keep in mind extra points does matter. Because in this game right here, you had McNair running back had 6 touchdowns. I'm sorry, flip it over. Chapman running back had 6 touchdowns himself. But they missed every extra point. They missed 6 extra points. They was going for 2, and they'd make. Seemed like to get down the 3-yard line, they get ready, they have a penalty, put them 8 to the 8-yard line. They could not master that. So they had 36. So that was 6 touchdowns by one player. We'll give the team credit because the team was there grinding, opening the hole, making sure he run through. And then middle school had 5 touchdowns. 5 times 6 is 30. But they had 4. They made 4 point after touchdowns. They made 3 two-point conversions, and they kicked their extra point. That's 7 points. So the final score was what? 37-36. So your extra points matter. So I always said when I was a head football coach and on middle school and high school level, I always had designated plays to score 2 points. In middle school, you know you work on that all the time. In high school, you work on it because I always tell everybody you got to have a play they call a coach's play. That's Coach Smith's play. Yeah, and he believes in that play, and he's going to score, and we're going to score every time we have a chance to do on that two-point conversion or when we got to get a first down. And last night, they was not successful to get them. I'm talking about Chapman was not successful to get the two-point conversion, and they end up losing the game by that one extra point that they kicked. Just remember, that was an extra point kick to start the game. It was 7-0. McNair had 6 touchdowns, 36. The other school had 5 touchdowns, which was 30. So 30, and then they had 3 two-point conversions, which was 6-1, made 7, 37-30. So it was a hard way to lose, but it happened. We applaud those young men, the coaches, the administration, as well as the community for supporting those parents out there supporting them. It was a good ball game. So the final score was 37-36, and that was some middle school action up in Huntsville, Alabama. In the high school division in the state of Alabama, they began to round this thing out, meaning they're about to some of the games happening this weekend will determine some of the position in the playoff. Some of the teams already locked up their areas in the various regions. There are seven classes in the state of Alabama, and they have the regions pretty much in the 7A class. You have only four regions, and they're going to play each other, whereas the other regions got up to eight regions. So there's we'll take the local teams here in the surrounding area. You have winning in the Region 2 of the 6A. Winning the region was Dothan High School. They only had one loss. Second place was Eufaula. Third place was Sidney Lanier. And fourth place is Park Crossing. So that means one of the local teams was left out in that region, and that was Carver High School. Carver started off undefeated, 6-0, beating everybody, and somehow some things happened at the end of the year that they end up not making it to the playoff, which was, you know, I know it was a shock to them. Last year they looked real well. I think they didn't lose a game until they got to the playoff, and they were looking that good this year. On the 7A class, Area 2, which is led by Central Phoenix City, is the number one team over there in the 7A Region 2. They won the region. Second place, you have we get a flip by either Auburn, either Prattville, and the fourth place team. Surprisingly, we thought it would be Robert E. Lee of Montgomery, and it is not. It is Enterprise. Enterprise. So no team out of the 7A will be adventuring off into the playoff. That's a problem because they played at a high level. I understand Robert E. Lee had a new coach. Jefferson Davis, which is another 7A in the same region. Their coach has been there 4 years, but it's time for some decision making to be made around there. And we'll look to see what's going to happen in regards to that program over there as well. So neither one of those teams. So you have out of the local teams, you have two of the city teams, public schools, able to make it to the playoff. And you only have one. You only have one. In essence, well, you don't have one. You just only have those two teams in the 6A, have no one in the 7A. Now, if you want to move down in the lower classes, we'll applaud Montgomery Catholic. They are undefeated. They are 10-0. Pipe Road, which is in Pipe Road, Alabama, but it's Montgomery County. They are 10-0. Then you have Alabama Christian Academy. It's the fourth place team in that region in 4A. So there are several teams. You have St. James, which is a private school, as well as Montgomery Academy, also making the playoff. But it's out of the public schools, there are only two that's going to make it this year. Last year, I think all of the teams made it last year. And that was happy, happy, happy for the city of Montgomery Public School football. But they are not only having two teams and two teams out of the same area that's going. So the pitch is going to be a little better for the playoff. As you move on down, teams are filling in. Tomorrow night, teams will play, and Friday night they will play, and you'll find out who will be in the playoff, which start the following week, which is the weekend of the 8th, 9th, and 10th. So we'll check them out in the playoff here locally. In the state of Florida, and I always want to give a shout-out to them, they have a lot of their district champions have been decided. We'll start down in the 8A. They have eight classes. The eight classes, Region 1, you have number one Seminole. They're ranked number one. They won their district. You have St. John's, Bertram Trail. They won their district at 9-0. Apopka, 7-1, won their district. We're talking about Region 1 now for the 8A for down in Florida. The fourth team that listed there that won their district, that's Timber Creek. They are 8-1. In Region 2 of the 8A in Florida, you have Sarasota Riverview, 7-2. Lustin Steinburner up in New York. They're 9-1. Dr. Phillip, that's down in South Florida, 8-2, and Osceola is 8-1. So those are four teams that make Region 2. For 7A, for Region 1, you have Edgewater. They're 8-1. Niceville, which is over here in northern Florida, over here by Fort Walton Beach, they are 10-0. You have Orange Park, Fleming Islands, they are 8-0. You have Winter Springs, they're 5-4, but they won their district, so they're in the playoff. 6A Region 2, because Region 1 haven't been decided yet. You have Tampa Gators, and they are 9-0. You have Largo, 6-3, their district winner. Lake Malinola, 6-3. Peterburg, Dixie, Highlands, 7-2. So those are four teams that are district champs in the region of 6A2, 5A Region 2. You have Jones, 8-1. Dunlany, 8-1. Augusta Mendez, 6-2. Brookville Nature Coast, 5-5. So those are the 8A, 7A, 6A, 5A, various district champ in the state of Florida. There are more to come out after this weekend, so we'll keep an eye on that. So that's what we're talking about. We're sharing some awesome thoughts with you. We appreciate everybody taking time to join us. Basically, I'm looking at several people on my board now, a couple of familiar numbers down there, and I appreciate you all joining me for sure. You all, and I don't want to call your name out. You may not want your name called out, but I am going to call those individuals that make up Facebook. Facebook was loaded tonight, and I thank each and every one of them for joining us. I'm going to start off with giving a shout-out to Elena Lewis. Allie Lewis, give her a shout out. And Jessica Chris, thank you, Jessica. Miranda Mills, thank you so much. Shawana Warren Cote, thank you. And one of my former players and student down at McKenzie, Tony Pierce, thank you, Tony, for joining us. Keisha Christopher, thank you, Keisha. Tanisha Wallace, thank you very much for joining us. My frat brother, so proud to have him on here. Tay Likely, my frat brother over there in Georgia. Your wife just had a birthday. Tell her happy birthday, Tay. Dr. Likely, tell her happy birthday. Denise Stephanie out of California. Denise, appreciate you. You was on our early show, and you're on this show too as well. Thank you, Denise. Marvin Smith. Thank you, Marvin. Matter of fact, that's Tay's stepdad. That's Katrina Roper Smith, son Tay, and that's her husband, Marvin. And Katrina is a member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated, as well as Tay is a member of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity Incorporated. And his wife, Dr. Likely, is a member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated. Give them a shout out. Brian Steele, another one of the members of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity, came through Gamma Beta Chapter at Alabama State University. And I know that young man very well. Thank you, Brian. We have Monique Sunshine Boyd. Thank you, Monique, so much for joining us. LaShawn Lone. Thank you, LaShawn. LaShawn worked with us down in Lowndes County through mental health. We appreciate LaShawn joining us. She's here in Montgomery now. Yvette Smith, my biological sister. Thank you. The baby of the bunch. Thank you, Yvette, so much. And I have my other sister on here. It's Olivia Smith. Dr. Olivia E. Smith, part of the Talking Real to You, as well as she joined us on Tuesday night on the Dr. Lowe Show. Dr. Smith over there in Atlanta, Georgia, well, outside in Jonesboro. Terry Melodramatic, she's joining us, and I'm looking, I see Zeta Phi Beta Sorority down there, well represented. Vantan Wright, she joined us earlier. Thank you, Vantan. Vantanya Wright, that's what it is. I'm going to get it right here. Kristen Barrows, thank you, Kristen, so much. We have Tamika Butler. Thank you, Tamika, so much. Then we have, again, Lewis is joining us again. Some people just added it twice on here. You also have Jessica Chris joining us, as well as Miranda Mills, and some of them kind of repeating here. And it's just kind of repeating over again. Keisha Christian, as well as I mentioned, Wallace. All of them is repeating over again. I appreciate each and every one of you all, John. Ella St. James, I didn't call her name. Thank you for joining us as well. We see some other individuals on here. I guess some people are calling in and making sure they tune in to the show through Facebook. Oh, man, I tell you, it's so awesome to have a chance to come before you. And I'm still strolling up the board, seeing some people. Sierra Washington. Sierra joined us earlier on our 7 o'clock show. Sierra, thank you again for joining us. And we'll go down and see. I don't want to repeat some of the names I have on here because we have some people that tune in and just flipping over and over again. But, okay, we have Jennifer Edwards, another one of my biological sister. She says she's here. She's on Blog Talk Radio as well. She's on Facebook. Go ahead on, Jen. Thank you very much, Jennifer. Try to make sure I don't omit anybody. Like I said, if some of us repeating themselves here, so I'm just going to make sure I stroll through. And I don't see anybody new coming in here. No, we don't. Some of them just repeating themselves again. Thank you for joining us. And I do see an individual that's on Blog Talk Radio. It's Crystal Porter, my sister of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority, is joining us. And she's joining us on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you, Crystal, so much. My sister up there in Ohio, she's doing well, and I appreciate her joining us as well. So we have several individuals, and it's awesome to have a chance to come. We are right at 9:01, the end of the show. Just keep in mind, we're so happy to be able to bring this vessel to you, sharing historical black colleges and universities and high school. We'll be back with you on Friday at 2:30, Balling with the Doc. We're going to talk some more sports, set you up for the weekend, talk about the hottest sports topic. Hey, it's awesome to have a chance to come before you. Now, the music that I play, I do not own the rights to it, but I play it anyway. So we make sure we play some things that kind of get us popped up. And some people say, man, you're playing some music that be off the chain, man. I say, yeah, man, we just like having fun on Talking Sports Plus or the Smith Way production. We're coming at you hard, coming at you fast. This is the vessel God blesses with a vision to do. We're in 16 countries, and we're so proud to be broadcast in 16 countries. We're on Facebook, and that was Dr. L. D'Alberto Smith made a Facebook. That's the account to go to. We're also on Dr. Lorenzo D. Smith, number one on Instagram. And I was appreciate having that one as well today. And we Blog Talk Radio, so it's been awesome. So we're going to wrap it up. My hashtag is keep on grinding. My second hashtag, communicate for understanding. And I want to make sure you join us on Friday because we're going to talk some sports on Friday at 2:30 Central Standard Time, 3:30 Eastern Standard Time, Blog Talk Radio, Facebook, as well as Instagram as well. And I always tell you, as I get ready to leave the show and all of you joining on Blog Talk Radio, I appreciate you. If I did call your name out because I could see you on there, and I appreciate you joining us again. I'm going to play this because it's whatever. I love you, and I have a thing you can do about it.
All you trail riders, back again. Big Yayo, J1, T-Baby. Saddle up.
I need a cowgirl, someone I can play with. Stay with rolling the hay with cowgirl. I'm looking for a cowgirl.
Cowgirl, baby.
She got a cowboy boots and tight legged jeans on. Know she's the truth and ready to get a drink.
She's ready to ride.
Oh, she's ready to ride. She got the cowgirl hat with the belt to match. Ripping on that rope, she's such a class act. She's ready to ride. Oh, she's ready to ride.
Cowgirl, baby.
I
I'm knocking.